The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
Chapter 2, we have until now developed the idea of creation and the two forces of creation, that everything is moving from whole, from Kodesh, from the holy, and is unfolding into the most particular, the most individualized, and culminates in the human being, which is the most individual. And yet, in a funny way, in a mysterious way, in a paradoxical way, with every step down towards the more particular, each more particular and each more unique actually includes that which came before it and becomes the most universal at the same time. And to a certain extent, it dawned on me yesterday when I was teaching the men that if you were to visualize this, you would have to understand that you have the most universal, all-encompassing as it unfolds into the most specific, and yet as everything's moving in the direction of the most specific, somehow simultaneously, as it's becoming the most specific, it's becoming the most universal. And that really, this is what is the symbol of creativity, of divine expression. We then dealt with what is man, we dealt with what creation is, we then dealt with what is a human being, and that God created man in His image. And we left off with the understanding that what does it mean that God created man in His image? Not that God created man in God's image, but in an image, God created man. So to speak, God acting as an image that can be perceived. God acting as a person, so to speak, that can be related to. That's how God created man. That to create light, God can be understood and act as, so to speak, a force, a creative force that decrees and says, let there be, let there be, let there be. But to create a human being, a force does not create a human being. A force can create an animal. But a force, let there be, does not create a human being, a person. With a person, God says, now we will make man. In our image, so to speak, in a form, in a guise of personality. Of course, the divine is beyond personality, but also includes personality. And therefore, in Tselem, in that state, so to speak, in that mode of manifestation, God created a human being who's also a Tselem, was also of a personal persona that can be related to and can relate to God. So that's the human being. Today we're going to deal with what is Shabbat. What is Shabbat? So let's look at the psukim very, very carefully, because they are very, very difficult psukim. Vayuchulu hashamayim v'haaretz v'kol tzva'am. And the word vayuchulu is a difficult word. And was completed, or were finished, or whatever. For now, let's just, that's what we're going to deal with. But just for translation, and heavens and earth and all their hosts were completed. Vayuchulu. Ve'yichal Elohim b'yom ha-shvi'i. And God finished. Well, again, we'll have to deal with the definition of ve'yichal. We will not succeed in finding one word for it. Right? It will be a combination of words to understand the depth of what it means. And God completed on the seventh day milachto, the work asher asa that He did. Vishbat b'yom ha-shvi'i, and God rested on the seventh day mikol milachto, from all the work asher asa that He did. Vivarech Elohim, and God blessed et Yom HaShvi'i, the seventh day, v'yekadesh oto, and He made it holy. Kivo shavat mikol melachto asher bara Elohim la'asot. Kivo, because on that day, God rested from all the work that He created to do. Right? La'asot. Ashabara Elohim la'asot. To do. Now let's go back to the beginning and let's see. Now, how would you write this? I mean, obviously this is telling you about Shabbat. Now with all the points that you perceive are being mentioned here, what would you have said? How would you have written this? Yeah. Good point. First of all, the first verse and the second verse seem to be saying the same thing. And heavens and earth were created. Heavens and earth were completed. And God completed on the seventh day the work that He had done. Isn't that the same thing? I mean, what does one verse say that the other verse isn't really saying or including already? What else is unusual about this? What does it mean in the sentence, verse 2, says, and God completed all that He did, and He rested from all that He did. Isn't that the same thing? I mean, He completed, He finished. Well, we've got to keep that in mind. Obviously, we have to give an answer. But what is the difference between saying, and He completed, and He rested? What else is difficult in terms of an alternate text?
I'd love that He rested.
Well, you can't really do that. When you're dealing with Pshat, you're looking at what's written and you're simply trying to figure out whether it could have been written in what you would perceive a more efficient way. Right? And if not, then, or if yes, then we must be missing something here crucial for understanding. Yeah, what else? Ah, well, the reason why He did that is because of another problem in the text, which is what? I mean, the reason why that translation is doing that, the translation is translating according to the pshat that makes sense. Not literally, because if you literally read it, there's a very serious problem with this. What does this sound like? Right? And God completed on the seventh day His work, which means what happened on Shabbat? God worked, and He finished on Shabbat. Not that God finished on Friday, but that God finished on Shabbat, and this is a very difficult passage. And therefore, Hirsch, and the person who translated the Hirsch, already puts in Hirsch's pshat, right? And with the seventh day God completed. Meaning, which is a very nice pshat, that not that God completed on the seventh day, which would imply that God did something on the seventh day, but with the seventh day things became completed. Right? The
seventh day is
a work of creation. No, the seventh day Shabbat, with the Shabbat coming in, everything was completed. And of course, we will then have to understand what? What do we really need to understand in the text right now? Yeah.
What is completion and what is rest?
Right, I mean, what does that mean that things are completed? So you say, well, okay, God didn't do anything on Shabbat. But then what does it mean that Shabbat completed things? So what did happen on Shabbat? And what does that mean? Does it mean things were not completed until Shabbat? I mean, it's a very, very difficult passage. And then, of course, what does it mean that God blessed it and God made it holy? And then there's something over here that's very, very strange. Until now, we've been talking about that God rested or completed all the work that He had done. Melachto asher asa. What does it say in verse 3? Ah. Melachto asher bara. The work that God created. Why is there a difference all of a sudden? You follow that? God, on the seventh day, completed the work that He had done, and He rested from the work that He had done. And God blessed the day and made it holy, because on that day God rested from all the work that He had created. It just said that God rested from all the work that He had done, and now it says that God rested from all the work that He had created, but not only all the work that He created, but what kind of work? To do. Asher bara Elohim la'asot. That God created in order to do. What's this last soak going on over there? Well, that implies that something's left to do. Right? And we just said over here that He rested from everything He had done. Right? Therefore, we find ourselves confused. Okay. So now let's try and understand what is this all about. Right? What's going on? And we'll work with the first simple question, and then we'll deal with the more difficult questions. The simple question, the most obvious question we have to deal with was, what did God do on Shabbat? Right? What happened? What is Shabbat? It's one of the 7 days through creation, yet everything's supposed to be finished by Shabbat, and yet somehow this is telling us that with Shabbat, or on Shabbat, or through Shabbat, things became completed. But if things became completed, then that means they weren't finished. Or is it possible to be completed even though you're finished? These are all kinds of questions that we have to deal with. So I'd like to share with you something that Rashi says, and we'll try and figure out what he's saying. Maybe that'll help us. So Rashi brings in the Midrash. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, Basar v'dam, a human being, you know, flesh and dam is the way, blood is the way of just referring to a human being. She'eino yodeh etal v'regrav. For a human being doesn't really know time exactly or seconds exactly. Tzirik lo sif mechol ala kodesh. Such a person has to add from the week onto Shabbat. What's he talking about? Add from the week to the Shabbat.
Maybe what? Instead of just 7th day.
When we keep Shabbat, what do we have to do? We have to start Shabbat before the time that Shabbat is actually supposed to come in. Why? Because since we are not exact with our watches, we wouldn't want to make a mistake and find ourselves 1 second into Shabbat too late. So therefore, we add from Chol to Kodesh. Right? However, that's what a human being has to do. But God, that knows time and seconds, Shabbat comes in like a thread, like a hairline, actually, or like a kechuta sa'ara, like a thread of hair, right? Just like that. Now, what is he trying to do with that midrash? What is Rashi, by bringing that midrash, what is he trying to resolve? The problem of it sounds like God worked on Shabbat. So what is the answer? What is the answer to this? The question that's bothering us is, how is it that God is working on Shabbat? The answer is, God is not working on Shabbat, but He finished right on that dot of Shabbat. Right? And then when it says, and God finished on the seventh day, it's as if it was like mamish on the line of the beginning of the seventh day. In other words, this is actually exaggerating it. It's kind of like giving you a sense of exactitude. And of course it doesn't really mean on the seventh day, but metaphorically it's as if on the seventh day, because you're just mamish right there on the border. When it says on the seventh day, it means more like on the border of mamish Shabbos. But of course, that doesn't satisfy us completely, and it doesn't satisfy Rashi completely, because he gives another answer. He gives two answers. Whenever Rashi gives two answers, it means that neither one of the answers does he feel are completely satisfying. Each one has its unique advantage. Okay, so let's look at another answer. Yeah?
It's the end of the sixth day, and we wouldn't have any problems.
You're right, but Rashi simply resolving what is written. He's not going to start thinking, well, what could have been written? This is what's written. This is what it implies. Here's a midrash that tells you that that's not what it implies. What it implies is that God stopped on the seventh day, meaning on the border, right when it just came in, right? On the verge, so to speak. And that's how you have to read this pasuk, and the oral tradition has the right to tell you how to read a pasuk, right? That's just the facts. The oral tradition tells us how to read a pasuk. Yeah? Well, that we can answer when we start talking about why was the sin actually part of the 6 days of creation. The sin didn't happen after Shabbat, it actually happens before Shabbat. And the Chumash kind of like fills in blanks that it doesn't even mention beforehand, okay? So we'll talk about that. No, but you're still trying to push me to say something that we can't say. Because who says that while man is sinning, that's not itself part of creation? No. So, let's go on. We'll talk about that when we talk about what is sin. So, okay, that's one answer Rashi gives. But the other answer Rashi gives is like this. Mahaya ha'olam chaser. What was the world, the olam, missing? Menucha. Rest. Right? What's a world without a little rest? Right? Menucha. Bat Shabbat. Shabbat came. Bat menucha. Menucha came. Menucha's rest. Tranquility. Kalta v'nigmara hash malacha. And when menucha came, then the work was actually finished. Right? Then the work was finished. Okay, now, again, what is our problem? Our problem is it sounds like God is doing something on Shabbat. And the answer is, no. God is actually not doing anything on Shabbat. Right? What is God doing? He's resting. He's not doing. That's what God is doing on Shabbat. Not doing. And the not doing is what finishes the doing of the week. Can someone explain that? Yeah.
It's like relational.
So God finished on the sixth day, and then, you know, the divine went and did something else and built another world. But this world wouldn't have been finished if there wasn't that dimension called Menucha that came into the world, which is God sticking around and not doing anything, so to speak. All right, so to speak. In other words, if something's happening, yes, something's happening on the seventh day, and it's not like God finished on the seventh day, but retroactively, that which happened during the 6 days became finished when God rested on Shabbat. So this resolves the problem. Definitely resolves the problem. Not that God did something on, but what happened on Shabbat retroactively completed what happened on the 6 days. Right? So Shabbat somehow completes the 6 days, but where, I mean, the 6 days are completed. Nothing's happening on Shabbat. It's precisely because nothing's happening on Shabbat that retroactively something's being completed in the 6 days. But how is that? What does that mean that Menucha completed it? What does it mean that, you know, there's rest, and without the rest, then the 6 days would not be completed? Now, I would like to suggest, the Rashi is being very, very clear with his words, that, I wouldn't want to suggest that, I know that, but what I'd like to suggest is understanding of that, that it says the world was lacking something. What was it lacking? Menucha. And when Menucha, when rest came into the world, then, he doesn't say the world was finished. His words are very careful. He said, Kalta v'nigmara ha-malacha. Then the malacha became complete, whole. Notice the word kalta, which means to finish, also comes from what word? Kol, which means to be whole. Right? It became whole and finished. He uses these two words, kalta v'nigmara. Right? And he wants to show you that kalta is like nigmara. Kalta, to finish, is finished, but still it's kalta. In other words, it's not just simply finishing. You could finish something, that doesn't mean it's whole. There's a difference between something being finished and yet something being whole. Now, what was nigmara? His malach. The malach. Now let's think about what creation is all about, and I think this will help us understand what a Shabbos doing for the week. And what a Shabbos doing for creation. Why is Shabbos a testimony of creation? Everyone knows. And when you say Vayichul Hashemai V'arz V'kol Tzava'am, you're actually bearing witness to creation. Right? To creation. And in fact, when you say Vayichulu, halakhically it should be said with two people. Right? After Mariv of Shabbat, they say Vayichul Hashemai V'arz V'kol Tzava'am, these very verses, and you're supposed to say it at least with two people. If you can't find another person. Why? Because testimony is always in two. Right? Witnesses must come in two. And therefore, this is some kind of testimony that Shabbos is considered to be Zecher L'Maaseh Bereshit, a memorial, a reminder of Maaseh Bereshit, the act of creation. But you know, whenever people say Maaseh Bereshit, they always translate it as what? An act of creation. But that's not really what it says. Maaseh Bereshit literally means the act of beginning, right? Maaseh Bereshit. Do you hear this? It's generally assumed it means creation. But no, for some reason, it could have said Maaseh Briyat Olam. You know, Maaseh Briyah, that would be fine. But to say Maaseh Bereshit, to say the act of beginning, that tells us something about the world that we're in. And that tells us something about what Shabbat is testifying to. Now, I'd like you to think about it. Is there perhaps a difference between what we call Melacha and what we call Avodah? Avodah. Avodah is generally translated as work. And malacha, which is something you're not allowed to do on Shabbat either, because God didn't do malacha on Shabbat, is called malacha, but people say work. And when people say, what are you not allowed to do on Shabbat? You say, you're not allowed to work. Right? You're not allowed to work. But is that true? On Shabbat, am I allowed to pick up a table and move it? Yes. Well, isn't that work? I mean, that's labor, right? That's certainly labor. And yet on Shabbat, I'm not allowed to turn on a light switch, which is that work? Well, it might not be work, but it is malacha. There's a difference between malacha and work. What's the difference? What would you suggest the difference would be between malacha and work. Creativity versus labor. Malacha is a creativity in contrast to labor. Now I'd like you to think about the characteristics of the difference between creativity and labor. What distinguishes the two? Creativity is what in contrast to what labor would be? Creativity is not necessary. Extra? Labor, in essence, is mindless. Right? Labor, in essence, is mindless. Even animals do labor. But creativity is what? It's with intention. It's intent. Right? What else is labor? Which, of course, now these are all going to be different words of the same idea, but what else is labor? Intention means what else? Will. Creativity is willful. And labor is... labor is compulsive. A person who does avodah is called a... eved. And what's an eved? A slave. Nobody likes to do avodah because the person who does avodah is an eved. But a person who does malacha is a what? A malach. An angel. Right? It's a different thing. Right? It's a very different kind of feeling about it. So creativity is, malacha is a creativity, an act of creativity, whereas avodah would be an act of labor. And an act of labor you'll have to do in Shabbat, to a certain extent, but not an act of creativity. Right? And creativity is willful, whereas labor is more compulsive. And creativity is what, in terms of self?
Expressive,
whereas labor is, it's nullifying. When you're just laboring, you don't feel you know anything creative, you just got to do this work because you got to do this work, it feels nullifying. Right? And, now, let's understand what Shabbat is all about. What completes a malacha? What would make something from a malacha into an avoda, or an avoda into a malach? It's the ability to stop and rest. If you cannot stop, you are actually a slave. If you cannot stop, then it's mindless, it's compulsive, and you are nullified to some kind of pushing forward energy. But if you can stop, then what you did is a malacha. It will only be seen and complete as a malacha if it's something that you started and it's something you stopped. Do you see this? In other words, Shabbat testifies that the world is a creation rather than a mechanical labor of a blind, mindless force in the universe. And by God stopping, so to speak, he finished his malacha. Because to continue, then the malacha would have been seen and represented more like an avodah. And when a person keeps Shabbos and stops, and testifies that God stops, they transform the world from a labor of blind forces into an intended, creative, willed world. And you translate that into your own world. Because a lot of people in this world are slaves to what are called deadlines. You gotta go on. Right? And you don't finish until you get to the deadline, and the deadline is the most appropriate word for it. It is, in fact, a deadline. You have become a slave. You're not really free anymore. You've got this business and you feel it's very creative. I'm a business person, I'm very creative. If you can't stop, you're not creative. Right? You're actually a slave to some force that is moving through you. Only if you can stop. The divine stopping itself is the completion of a creation. The world wouldn't be a created world had it not had a beginning and an end. And if it didn't have an end, then it really wouldn't be important if it had a beginning or not. Because it's not a creative act. It's not something of will. creativity has meaning. Why does it have meaning? Because it was intended, it was meant to be. And keeping Shabbat restores meaning to the world by demonstrating that what you do in your life are those things that you meant to do, rather than you were compulsed or forced to do. And it restores the meaning to the world as a created world, rather than simply a mindless act of some blind forces. Shabbos restores the knowledge of the personal God that personally intended to create the world. And without that Shabbos, we wouldn't know that. The world would not be understood to be meaningful, because it would simply be an act of labor rather than an act of creativity. So, Menucha. Shabbos comes, Menucha comes, and the work was completed. What does that mean, it was completed? It was completed as a malacha. And had there not been a Shabbos, then it would have become simply an avodah. And we would never have been able to testify what Shabbat is all about. So that's one approach. Yeah. Are there really new forms? There are not new forms. That's one of the philosophical problems. See, there's a philosopher by the name of Bergson who also had this idea of creativity, right? That the world is this creative process. But for him, this creative process is this blind force that has really no direction, no intention, no will. It just creates because it creates, and this is a force called creative force. We would say there's no such thing as a creative force. Because by definition, forces can't be creative. Only a persona, only a God that wills, can create. A force is laborious. And therefore, Bergson has this idea of an evolving process of growing in complexities, but he has no direction to it. And so too, to a certain extent, to my limited understanding of Taoism, Taoism also has a sense of process. But the Tao has no direction. Right? And the world won't have much meaning if there's no direction. There's no sense of intention. There's no sense of mind. There's no sense of will. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. And you plug into that and you feel harmonious with the world, which isn't really harmonious because it is not complete with what was meant to be. There is no meant to be. Shabbos restores the intention to the world, the sense of purpose to the world, which makes the world into a created world rather than a world that just came to be through blind forces. Okay. And nothing new has come into the world. There are combinations of what exist.
That's
but that's not really new.
Everything was put here, but there are different.
I mean, that's the problem in the philosophy of this ongoing creative process, because how come we don't see things that are completely new? There seemed to be a point that there was a creativity, and then everything else is simply the unfolding of that set creativity called 6 days. You see, from Bergson's point of view, there isn't something called 6 days of creation. Right? There is day 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Every day is a day of creation. Just goes on and on and on. But we believe in a 6 days of creation, because if it is 6 days, then it's a created world of will and intent and purpose. And if it's Bergson's world, then you don't need 6 days. Every day is a new day of creation. Goes on and on and on. But the 6 days of creation set up the prototype of creativity, and everything else is only the unfolding of the 6 days. We see mystically that the 6 days are not simply the first 6 days of the rest of the days of the world. We actually see the 6 days of creation as the collective universal days. In other words, if you were to go back in time, right, would you get to the first 6 days on your calendar? The first 6 days are not on your calendar. Your calendar is actually like a branch that grows out of the root 6 days. They're not over here on the end of the line. They're over here, right? And time is unfolding out of it in the creative process, but still within the context of it. Okay? That's why we have the notion of that the 6 days represent the 6 millennium of our history. Because each 6 day correlates to an unfolding particular process that unfolds history even then. So it goes back. The 6 days of creation are not the end of the line, but rather the root of time. Right? They are the root of time. And all of time unfolds from it into its various details. But now with that, let's go to the first word. Right? The first word. Vayuchulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'kotzavam. We said that was redundant. Okay, we dealt with just the idea that really, what did God do? God didn't do anything on Shabbat, and that retroactively finished creation as a creation, as an act of intention, a place of meaning. Without Shabbat, the world wouldn't be meaningful because it would simply be the product of blind, laborious force. With Shabbat, the world is completed as a malacha rather than an avoda. Very important to understand. This is the difference between a person who works and works and works and takes off a good Saturday. They're not resting. They're just stopping, but they're not resting. Right? They're not just, they're because it's still on their minds. And they're still like, you know, we just complete it. It's not even on our minds. We could stop any time. We don't care. This, by the way, will now explain, before I go on to Vihulu, I think it's appropriate now to explain what it means, Vayishbot. So let's look at that. I know we're kind of going backwards, but I think it's actually the most logical way to approach this. It says, and God, on verse 2, and God finished or completed on the seventh day the work that he had done. It didn't say that God completed the work. That would imply that God completed the work on the seventh day. That God completed the work that he had done, that he had already done. You see that? That's why these words are very important. Because if you would have written it, then you simply say God completed on the seventh day his work. But it didn't say his work. It said his work that he had done already. There is no implication that there was something left undone. God completed that was that which was done. How did he complete it? By resting, it was completed as a creative act. And if he didn't rest, then it would be incomplete as a creative act, and it would simply look like an avoda, a labor. But Vayishbot, God completed resting on the seventh day. How did God complete it? By resting. Now the Or HaChaim says something that is very, very beautiful. There's a midrash that says something really unbelievable. The midrash says that God didn't get a chance to finish the world. It's an amazing thing. Friday was coming. It was getting very, very late. Right? The chalit still wasn't half cooked. And Vayishbot, and God rested and stopped and withdrew. The Midrash says that where do all the mazikin come from? Like the demons, so to speak, the evil spirits or whatever? It comes from the unfinished business of Friday. This is what it says in the Midrash. That God didn't get a chance to finish their bodies, and therefore there were beings without bodies, and somehow they are of damage in the world. This is a mind-boggling thing. This Midrash is saying that God didn't finish the work, and so there are certain beings that exist in the world that are uncompleted, incomplete beings, and incomplete beings are dangerous beings. All right? And that was just, you know, well, time up, sorry, ding, Shabbos. That is an amazing idea over here. And of course, it's ridiculous. Because the divine could certainly create the world in a blink, right? Let alone in one day or 6 days, certainly God could finish everything. So Or HaChaim says, God left things unfinished to teach us a lesson. Right. And that really the verse goes like this, and God finished all that he had done, meaning that whatever he had done, he did not do anything new. He finished all that he had done, meaning that he did not start anything new. Right? Anything that he had done, he had completed. And Vayishbot, and anything that was still in the middle of the process, he stopped doing. Right? That's the pshat. That God finished all that he had done, and he stopped in the middle of that he was doing. And he relates that as the pshat of the midrash coming to answer this thing. And the Or HaChaim says, well, why? What does this teach us? How would that then complete the world? I would suggest that this fits into this approach that we just presented, and I'll present another approach. But right now, the world was created. It was completed as a creation. Because if you can't stop in the middle, then you are once again a slave. And the incompleteness of it is actually what makes it so complete as a creative process. If you have to finish it, then you are slave to the deadline. If you can let go of it in the middle, then you will understand that it was creativity. It was creativity. If you can't let go of it in the middle, it's not creativity. You're a slave. You're not a creator, you're a slave. If you can let go of it in the middle, that itself creates it. If an artist is painting a picture, and it's getting close to Shabbos, and he hasn't finished it, if he needs to finish it, then he's not a creator, and the painting isn't very creative. You are a slave. But if that artist could just say, forget it, I let go, I don't care, right? That will be the most beautiful picture they have ever created. Right? And therefore, you mean to tell me that God didn't complete the world when it said that God did complete the world? And now the Midrash says, well, God left things incomplete? The incompletion of the world is its completion. That's what makes it a creative world. A world of intention. A world that was created for its own sake. Because if the world had to be finished, then that means like the world was created only for some end. But if God could leave it undone, then that means that the world was meaningful for itself to be created. When you paint a picture, are you painting it in order to make a lot of money? If you're painting it to make a lot of money, you're not very creative. But if you're painting it because you're painting it for its own sake, right, then this is an act of love. If God, so to speak, could let the world be incomplete, that is what made the world complete. To be incomplete in the context of labor, that's no good. But to be incomplete in the context of creativity, that's the most complete you could have. Because that means that this is creativity. This is intention. This is God creating. So even the incomplete aspects of the world are actually what makes the world very, very complete. Yeah?
That the result is a negative aspect.
But didn't God also say on the sixth day, V'tov ma'od, it's very good? And the oral tradition says good refers to the good inclination, very good refers to the evil inclination. That even the mazikim, even that which is incomplete in the world, in a funny way we will see, contributed to making the world more complete.
But is that evil inclination versus the demons?
No, mazikim are all from the same family. Yeah, they belong to the same club, right? They all belong to the same club.
What's mazik?
Mazik means like these destructive forces. That's what mazik means, nezek, right? And this you have to understand is the amazing thing about people who keep Shabbat. When you keep Shabbat, it brings meaning to your world. It takes you from what the week could have been as labor, and you complete your work. You transform the week retroactively into a creative week rather than it becoming just a labor week. And I want to share with some people, you know, I have a friend, he was in the middle of probably one of his biggest deals he had ever worked on. All right? This fellow bought the PTL club. He's a rabbi. And he bought the PTL, I mean, we're talking about multi-million dollar deals. He was in the middle of a deal purchasing one of the biggest companies in Canada. And they were taking it to court and this and that, and there was this judge, and oh, it went on and on and on. And the court got together again Friday. And here it's Friday in this court, this and that, and it's already 12 o'clock. It's already 3 o'clock. It's already 4 o'clock. This religious Jew, they're coming very close to signing the deal. He says, Your Honor, it's coming very close to the Jewish Sabbath. And we really must finish this or I'll have to go. And they said, well, hold on, you know, this is a big deal. We're not going to push anything. And we're not going to be impatient. We're going to do it right. And it goes on and on and on. And he's got 20 minutes until it's Shabbat. Right? And he lives an hour away from his home. Right? I'm from this court. My court is way downtown. And he lives way up north. driving, right? It's still going to take him a long, and it's traffic, Friday afternoon traffic, isn't that? Anyways, it's 20 minutes, 19 minutes, right? He says, Your Honor, I'm sorry, or either the deal is up, I don't care, but I'm sorry, we'll have to get together next week, well, whatever that means. Say, oh, are you crazy? We could lose a deal, right? Sorry, right? I could lose a bigger deal. And he said goodbye. Everybody blew their minds. He had something like 13 minutes until it was Shabbos. He gets into his Jaguar, and he zooms up the street. His friend with him runs out of the car when there were red lights and stops traffic as if it's a police car and goes like this, and he zooms up there. He's got 6 minutes to Shabbat, right? They're zooming, and they still have at least another half an hour to go, right? Well, 5 minutes on the count, right? And what does he do? What would you do with your Jaguar? Of course, he parks it in someone's driveway that he doesn't even know who they are, right? Knocks on their door, right? The door opens up, and right behind the guy on the wall is a big cross. This guy looks at him, and he's holding the keys to his Jaguar, right? And his wallet and everything. We're talking about everything, not to mention all the papers that were in that Jaguar. And he says, excuse me, sir, could you do me a favor? I'm Jewish, and the Sabbath is coming in about 4 minutes. Do you mind taking care of my Jaguar? Here are the keys. Right? The guy says, I know you from somewhere, don't I? So, well, you might have seen my face on the front page of the magazines and the newspapers. I just bought the PTL car. Oh, sir, oh, he says, if you'll just take care of my car, I'll give you a free trip to Heritage Park. Just take care of my car. And the guy says, oh, please, it's a pleasure. And he leaves the keys of his Jaguar with a complete stranger, right? And he walks home, right? That's the difference between being a slave and participating in creation. And knowing that life is meaningful because it's bound up with a much higher vision, the vision of God as it was so created.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.